Hi, everybody. Welcome to my new show, Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah, and I am super happy to be here. This is a new show. This is the first podcast, so first time I'm trying this out. And I just want to open with a prayer for God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So welcome. I am super happy to be doing this podcast / radio show. And I have been on a serious path for almost a year at this point, and I have completely changed my life because of God. I've always had a relationship with God, but I kind of was fence sitting, I feel like. And there is that famous passage in the Bible about sitting the fence, right, in Revelation. So I am not doing that anymore. I am committed to following God and Jesus, and I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I do have differing beliefs when it comes to some of these things, and it is from a lifetime of study. Even when I wasn't actively working on my relationship with God, I've always studied religion, and I studied it for answers. I've always been seeking answers to the kingdom of heaven. I wanted to know what was real, because I would find something and I would study it and I would think, oh, this is really good. And then something about it wouldn't make sense, so I would fall away again. And I think a lot of people have this relationship with churches and with religion, and there's a reason why. And that is because Jesus's words about the kingdom of God being within us, I think were absolutely literal. I think the kingdom of God is within us. I think that the Bible has been twisted to represent a kingdom that is apart from us. Why? Because then we have to rely on them, right? Because it's power, it's control. A religion is used to control the masses. Now, I will say this, there do have to be laws in life, right? Because otherwise it's anarchy. So one of the things that I honestly believe about the Bible, and I do believe the Bible is a transformative text, but I do believe, as Jesus said, that the scribes have perverted the Bible to be something different than what it was. And in fact, from the Geneva Bible to the King James Bible, there were 30,000 changes. There were even more of that, more changes from the 1798 Bible to the Geneva Bible. So this is a long history of changing God's word. And then we are left with, what do we have to do? We have to study. We have to find it ourselves. We go towards these inevitable truth-seeking missions in our lives where we can't quite discern what the truth of God is because they have changed it so much. And I do believe that the Bible is a transformative book, but what I believe about the Bible is that it is a stepping off point. God said, do not worship false idols. Right? Do not worship false idols. If you turn the Bible into the only opinion or the only thing that is right, and you worship the Bible as being its own existence, then that is an idol. And the same thing goes for crosses. Anything that you worship more than God is effectively an idol. Right? Not even effectively, it absolutely is an idol. So you have to be careful of how much reverence you give to anything. You have to balance it. But what I do believe about the Bible is it's like a stepping off point, right? It's a lot of parables. Jesus spoke in parables, and I believe he did this to confuse the leaders, to confuse the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the leaders of the world that were trying to change the message of God. And it was effective, and I'll tell you why, because these things are ever enlightening, right? When you read certain passages in the Bible, it takes you to other places. It just absolutely does. And it leads you to deeper contemplation. And that is why I don't believe that just reading the Bible is enough. I think you have to read the Word of God. You have to meditate on the Word of God, because then true inspiration and revelation will come to you about the kingdom of God, and some things will make sense and some things will not. And that's where I kind of was, right? Like, I was in this place where I was researching, and I was taking comparative religion classes, and I kind of found that no religion made total sense to me, with the exception of Buddhism. And I thought Buddhism was beautiful, and the amount of compassion that they have, right? And I was like, I could never be that compassionate to people. That is crazy. Like, there are just people that I do not like. But in my heart, I felt that they were onto something. And in fact, Buddha himself would have been very distressed at Buddhism being called a religion. That is how anti-establishment Buddhism is, right? Because it is not about the establishment of these rules. It is about compassion towards people and not harming people. And that is a beautiful thing when you are living in God's world, right? Because God wants us to be compassionate towards each other. And in fact, I believe the kingdom of darkness that exists here, that rules this world, is laughing at us because we are so not united as one, and we should be. It doesn't matter whether you are Muslim, whether you are Protestant, Catholic, Buddhist, Hinduist, like, it doesn't matter which religion you practice, we are still one. And I become of the complete, absolute belief that God wants us to be united as a world. He wants us to be united. He does not want us fighting over religion. You know who wants that? Darkness. The evil forces in our world, of which Jesus said there are, right? He said there are demons. He cast them out. They want us to be divided, because if we are divided, we are far from God. And being far from God is the whole point of darkness, right? Darkness is the absence of God. Evil is the absence of God, because without God, there can't be anything, right? So God is everywhere. He's in everything. And he is in every person, despite how dark they are. There is just a flicker of light. But light drowns out the darkness. It drowns it out. And it's purposeful. I think when Jesus died for our sins, he fulfilled the law and he died for our sins, and the contract was done. And there is a legal thing that he spoke on the cross. And I follow a guy named Aaron Abke, and I highly recommend you listen to him. One, because he is an absolute genius when it comes to research, and he has researched a lot about the Bible. He has researched a lot about Gnostic text and the words of Jesus Christ, which I absolutely believe in. And he has done many, many videos and classes on the reality of what has changed. And a lot has, right? There are things that don't make sense in the Bible. For example, if you don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord, then that means you are condemned to a life of hell. However, how about people like Buddha? Buddha would not have hurt a fly. He would not have hurt anybody. Most Buddhists wouldn't. They wouldn't hurt anybody. Their compassion is too strong. What about Hinduists that believe in right action, right? How about that? Do they all go to hell? Which means the only people in the world are the people that confess Jesus Christ as Lord. But Jesus didn't talk about that. Jesus talked about action, not confession. Well, he did talk about repenting in the Bible, but repentance is acknowledging your sin. It's acknowledging the things that you have done that are wrong to other people, and you should correct those things because that's being a good person, right? If you borrow money and don't pay it back, no matter how much further down the line it is, you should remember that you did that and pay it back. When you say something against somebody, you should apologize because you have effectively hurt that person. So you have to boil down the commandments to a finite degree, because I do believe that God said, hey, these are my commandments. These are what you should do. Right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, you should not steal, you should not harm anybody, you should not covet your neighbor's lawn or covet your neighbor's house, probably not his lawn. I think it's okay to covet the lawn. It's not good to covet anything above God. But these things are absolute. These commandments, right? But I do believe Jesus was a perfect representation of the law of God. And not the Islamic law of God, not the Israeli law of God. I think that the law of God is treating people fairly and treating people well. I did have some revelation like a week and a half ago that I'd like to read, and I do tend to write down things that I get in revelation because it has been important in the last year of my walk with God. And this is the passage that I'm going to read you. And again, this is from my revelation. This is not written anywhere. The kingdom of God is like a newborn baby. At first, the baby is helpless and needs 24/7 care from the parents. Like this, a new believer in the kingdom of God needs care from their heavenly father. Then, when the baby grows into a toddler, it knows a few words and how to walk, but still stumbles. Like this, a toddler in the kingdom of God still needs much support from God. Then, when a toddler grows into a child, it learns to speak and act independently, but still makes errors in judgment. Thus, the child of God is starting to walk independently and knows the word, but still needs support from their heavenly father. Then, when the child of God grows into an adolescent, it starts to question and maybe even rebel, but the foundation is already laid down. When the adolescent returns, God is there accepting and loving the adolescent through their troubles into a new awareness. Then, when the adolescent grows into an adult, they are grown and care for themselves, but remember the lessons of God. They join others and hand down those lessons to their children. Thus is the adult in the kingdom of God, spreading their message and lessons to their children. Then, when the adult grows into an elder, they receive the knowledge of God and pass this knowledge and wisdom to younger generations. Thus, the word of God is never ceasing but ever present in the world. Let go of those who do no good for you and teach you nothing. Hold close to you those that have potential and are seeking the kingdom of heaven. For all of us go through periods in our lives and in the kingdom of God in which we are learning and walking the wide path. Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow are the roads that lead to life, and only a few find it. You can liken this to a highway with many cars and a narrow path through the woods. On the highway, many people stop for gas and they rest along the way. And sometimes they pick back up on the highway and sometimes they get off the highway completely. In order to get to the footpath, you must drive down the highway first. However, the footpath is narrow and deep in the woods. You must keep going to get to your destination. You have to walk single file, and if you veer off the path, you get lost. So this is what came to me in Revelation, and I did write it down immediately after. This is the kingdom of God for a new believer. That believer goes through many stages to reach enlightenment. I cannot tell you what all of those are, as this is being revealed to me as well. I know that this is not about me, therefore there are no pictures of me and no information about how to contact me, because this is for God. And I do not wish to be in videos. Like, I just don't like it. And I'm very uncomfortable with it. And I feel like this is the best way to give praise to God. It is being offered to anyone that wants to share in the promise of God. And know that, and I need to say this out there for all the people that have walked a crazy path to God, right? Like I've done countless things wrong in my life. I am not by any means a perfect person. I have done drugs. I have, you know, made bad decisions. I have been a person of low moral value at certain times in my life. It is not how you get there, but that you get there that matters. We need to show compassion to people that are new to God, that have changed their lives. And one of my favorite people in this day and age that is talking about God is Russell Brand, right? This guy was like, you know, hanging out with celebrities and he was on the road to hedonism. And he is completely converted. And to listen to him talk about God is a beautiful thing because he has walked the path. He left the road to iniquity. And he is one with the people of God. And it is a beautiful thing, right? Like, it is beautiful. So no matter who you were or who you are now and you're struggling to become somebody better, that is a beautiful thing. And I love you. No matter who you are, I love you. Just as God loves you, right? Because God loves all that find the path. It doesn't matter if you have tattoos. It doesn't matter if you did the bad thing at one point in your life, right? No matter what you have done, it is forgiven by God, not by priests, by God. I don't know about the priests and I haven't received revelation about that yet, but I do question the power that the leaders of churches are given. And this is one other thing I'd like to say about questioning is it is healthy to question, right? God wants you to have discourse with him. He wants a relationship because we have that ability to have a relationship with him. Your relationship with God is what matters. And I know this from the bottom of my heart. I can feel that that is what matters. I know that that is what matters. No matter how you got there, no matter what road you took to God, it is still a righteous road. Luke 15:7 says, "In some way, I tell you that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 good people who don't need to change," right? And it is not to say that the children of God that have been righteous all this time are forgotten. "For indeed, they are the elders who lay the path. The celebration is for and with them." And that is an amazing message, because it means no matter who you are, right now you can give your heart to God and Jesus, and you can be forgiven and know that you have made a choice that is going to be the great choice of your life, right? You may be on the highway. You may be riding down the highway and you have all this stuff and you're hearing all this scripture. You're like, wow, this is incredible. You are a baby in the eyes of Christ and the eyes of God, right? Like you are just starting out. And you should do that. Everything is exciting when you're a child or when you're a baby. Everything is new. Everything is exciting. And that's okay. Because the peace and the knowledge and the understanding will come later. It will come. The peace takes time to understand. I have a friend right now who is going through anxiety over the rapture and over the end of the world. And I have beliefs about the end of the world, which I'm not going to go into in this segment, but I will say that have peace and know that joy is coming, right? The other thing I want to say about that is that God protects people in the fire. We have many reasons to believe that. So the fact that God is going to, you know, let us go through all these tests of faith and all of this fire on earth is because he wants us to be ready for the kingdom, right? You have to know what you're doing wrong in order to change it. And if you've never known Christ, you probably have never known what you're doing wrong or what needs to be corrected. I don't want to say that it's wrong to live your life, right? Because I do believe that God and Jesus want us to do what we want to do. As long as we are not hurting people in any way, I believe that you can do whatever you want, right? I think the rules of the kingdom of God are simple. Love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor as he does. And when you put that onus on loving people as God loves people, that's a whole different, like, I don't know, like it's a whole different place to be at, right? Like it is a whole different place. You have to transcend the everyday judgments of our world. And right now it's really hard, right? We have Democrat against Republican. We have, you know, illegal immigrants against immigrants that live here. I mean, we are all immigrants here. That's why I say that. But we have so many differences of opinion that it's literally killing us. And we have to stop because we are human. And until we get to the human part of life, until we start respecting each other as individuals, as different as we may be, then we are missing the point of the kingdom of heaven. God doesn't care what you are. He doesn't care if you're black, white, red, yellow, orange. You know, he doesn't care. He wants everybody to be happy. He wants everybody to follow him. He loves you more than you can imagine. Jesus loves you more than you can imagine. His existence on earth, and it astounds me. I watch a show called The Chosen, and first of all, I love Jim Caviezel's portrayal of Jesus. But the portrayal of Jesus in The Chosen, I don't know, like it made me so happy and it made me cry. But I got to see Jesus smile. I feel like depictions of Jesus are often very serious. And according to people that, you know, people written accounts of Jesus, he was a very serious person. But I want to think of Jesus as smiling, right? Like he was so good that how can we live up to that? how can we even understand what it's like to love every single person? And I'm telling you, it is difficult. I try and remind myself all the time. When I deal with somebody that's difficult, or I see somebody in traffic who cuts me off, or, you know, it could be a million different little things, or a cashier that's a little rude. I try to remember that they're having a bad day, probably. Being a cashier is not an easy job. You have to deal with all kinds of attitude, right? People constantly, all day, at you because they want this or they want that. And we are in a materialistic society, right? And we don't know how to get out of our own way sometimes. So I remind myself, and I'm just extra nice to the cashier that's doing her job, just trying to get through the day. I'm a nurse. I have people constantly yell at me. Well, at least I used to. I'm in a different job now. I do surgery, so it's way different. But the ER nurses, I cannot tell you that how many times, every day I was assaulted or verbally assaulted, physically or verbally, every single day of my life. And it gets to you. It brings you down. It makes you feel like the world is lost because all you see is sickness, death, and psychosis. So you live your life in a way that you're just constantly preparing for the end of the world because it's just gotten so bad. And I had to get out of it because it was messing with my happiness, with my joy. And it took me years to get my joy back, right? Like, I've been gone not even a year yet. And I'm starting to feel the joy of God. And as soon as I left, I started on my path to God almost simultaneously. So, you know, I think if I went to the ER again, if I worked in the ER, I would have an easier time now. But I do know that the people that do that job are among the most special people I've ever met in my life. They are so dedicated to helping people that they will deal with the bad side of it just to help one person. Like, that's an incredible thing in our world. So be nice to ER nurses and doctors. I mean, most of the people were nice to the doctors, but the ER nurses had a bad, you know, they get it bad. And you know who gets it worse than the nurses is the aides and the housekeepers. So be nice to people. It doesn't take much to love people. You have to love people beyond their ability to love you. And the thing that I struggle with the most about loving people is loving my enemies. I have recently started praying for my enemies, people that I feel are even against God, because God assures us that no one is lost in the kingdom of heaven. If there is a sheep that has gone astray, he will try to find them. So praying for people is incredibly powerful. And I do this exercise in my mind where I pray for people that I've come across throughout the day that are, you know, struggling or appear to be lost, or people that are reaching out for something to make sense to them. I will look for this and I will try to pray for them so that they find God, that they find their way back or through whatever problem they are having. I pray for people that hate me. I pray for people that speak against me, because in my mind it propels me towards love much better than I can propel myself. Because what I do find is that my quality of loving people goes up directly in proportion to my praying for my enemies. And I am not talking about those kind of flippant prayers, You know, I used to do this, oh God, please help her, right? Because you can't do it that way. It has to be a prayer of love. It has to come from a place of light in your heart. It can't be like, oh, save them, bless your little heart. It can't be that. It has to come from a place of genuine concern for their soul. And that is what is difficult about loving people, no matter who they are. Loving people that you are in direct opposition to, that go against what you believe, those are the people that need it the most. And those are the people that you need the most to pray for. It is easy to love God and to love people when everything is going beautifully. It becomes difficult when people question your way of life or people question the way that you do things. That's when it becomes difficult, right? Because it's not as easy to pray for the person that's cutting you off in traffic or the in-law that just tries to drive you crazy every time you see them. That's the difficult part. And you have to mean it, right? You can think in your head one thing, but if you're praying something outright and you're thinking in your head another thing, then that is not truly praying for somebody. In Mark 7:21, Jesus states that from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts like sexual immorality, theft, and murder. He also, I can't remember the verse offhand, but he talked about it is not what you eat. It is not what you bring into your body that is unclean. It is the thoughts that you already have in your head that are unclean. So even thinking that someone is bad and being flippant about it, right? Being like, oh, you know, assuming the worst about that person, let's say, like, you know, having a disagreement and then being like, oh, they're just so, I'm going to pray for them so that they agree with me. And that is not the point, prayer. And it's not the point of praying for your enemies, right? Jesus talked about praying for your enemies. Do good to the people that do bad to you. And sometimes it is really hard. I had a situation at work where I had an argument with somebody. And, you know, I was so upset because I've been going down this path of trying to be righteous. And I was trying to love people. And I was, you know, doing Bible study every day. And I was praying every day and meditating on the word and meditating on God. And I was eating better. And I was just on this really good path for a really long time. And then all of a sudden, I had this argument, which completely derailed me. And I wasn't upset with her. Because afterwards, I was like, that was a disagreement. I should have handled that better. I prayed about it. I asked people to pray for me so that I would find the way through this disagreement. And then, but I was despondent. I was so upset with myself, right? Because I didn't love this person the way that I should have loved them in the moment. In the moment, I became defensive. And I started, you know, because I thought I was right, right? Which is, I mean, pride is everything. Pride, I have the pride bug. And if I think I'm right, it's hard for me to back down, but I need to back down because you have to love people. You have to meet people where they are. And what big deal is there in saying, okay, I will do that. You're right. You know, just let it go. Because that negative energy and that darkness is not what you want in your life. God doesn't want you to look at other people and be like, oh, you know, well, I'm right and you're wrong and that's all that matters. And that is exactly what is playing out in our political atmosphere today, right? We have each side clamoring at the moment that they have anything against someone else, And it's a system of duality. And this is one of the reasons that I follow Aaron Abke as closely as I do, because he talks about duality and he talks about the oneness of God, which I have always believed. I have been outside the church for a really long time. So my history is that I have studied a lot of different religions, including Wicca, including Christianity and Catholicism, and much less Judaism. I have Buddhism. I have done comparative religion classes. I have studied the Quran, the Sutra. I mean, a lot of different texts. And what I found in my discovery was that religion is more alike than it is different. And they all teach to love people, which I think is good. There are some differences, right? Because you can't say that there's not differences in these texts. There absolutely are differences. But the main signets of these religions are all the same, right? Love each other, do good to people, be responsible. Like, basically, that's what it boils down to. And I think that's, when you look at religion, that's what you have to look at, right? They're not outright selling, hey, let's go sacrifice our babies to Moloch. They don't say it. It's not that evident. The evidence is in the details, right? But when you boil it down, those messages are there. The messages of love are there. I think the Buddhist, and I've talked about this before, it's funny, I don't identify as a Buddhist, but I do think they came the closest to God's word and how to act towards other people. I believe it in my heart that they are absolutely correct in the things that they teach in Buddhism. And I didn't study Buddhism for long. I did do, you know, the rituals. I think I was too young at the time, and I just couldn't commit to rituals of that nature. But it was a beautiful religion. And the other one, which is controversial, is Wicca. And I'm not talking about the magic part of Wicca. You know, magic is what it is. But I found it to be very nature-oriented, and also there, I didn't agree with so much of the deity layout of Wicca, but I did love the spiritual connection to the earth, and I thought that that was really good, and I think most people that practice that do not try to harm people, which I also think is very much a part of what God wants, right, is not to harm people. So, you know, it just goes that there is more than one religion that says not to harm people. And I think that, you know, when you boil it down, that's what I think God wants. He wants you to love God first, love Jesus, love yourself, and love your neighbor. And Jesus pretty much said that exact thing, right? Like, if you look into the text, that's what Jesus talked about. And I think that we need to follow Jesus literally. It is difficult because I do think things have been changed in the New Testament, but I think the thought is there. I think that if we follow Jesus and take his words, that we will absolutely find our way to God eventually, right? If you do acts of kindness, acts of service in this world, which I do think are good. I mean, you know, I know that the Pauline theory, and I've been looking more into this with Aaron Abke, right? But I do think that that is incorrect. I do not think that acts are dead. I think acts of service are absolutely what you need, right? Jesus said that. Don't just say this, do this, right? That was the basic message from Jesus, like love God and then do service. And you feel good when you help people. I think that it's, you know, unifying. I think you're in a moment of God when you are helping people. And until all the other, you know, ego traits and, you know, selfishness come in where you're like, ooh, I should put this on TikTok. I've never done that. And I'm not faulting people that help people and then put it on TikTok. But I do think there is a point to ringing the bell that you shouldn't necessarily announce the good that you do in the world, right? Because I believe in that. I think that the private acts of charity are the most powerful, the times that you take the back seat, right? Because the back seat is exactly where Jesus was. He came here in a poor family, you know? He was not like rich. He wasn't a warrior. He was a warrior in some ways, but I mean, he wasn't in the military, and I think that, you know, he wasn't going to lead a revolution in that way. He led a revolution of kindness. You know, he talked to everybody. Some of the issues that I have with some religions, you know, particularly the religions that are not mainstream, you know, they don't want you to talk to people who sin. But Jesus talked to people who sin. And you can say what you want about corrupting the body of Christ in the church, but Jesus dined with sinners, because you never know who's going to be the one that changes that person. Something you say to somebody could change their heart and bring them to God. That's powerful. That is a powerful message. It is a powerful thing. So, you know, I encourage you to do acts, to talk to people. Try to bring as many people as you can to the kingdom of God, because you need to, right? Like, you need to bring people to the kingdom of God and warn people of the impending apocalypse, or, you know, whatever's going to happen. I don't think we're quite sure of how that's going to go, but talk to people. That's all you got to do, is have conversations. Bringing people to God could be as good as talking to your cousin or your brother or your friend down the street. I have it come up in casual conversations now, right? Like, I end up finding believers in every corner of the universe, and it is amazing that we connect so much over God, and we all have different religions, and I don't care. I don't care that you're a Jehovah's Witness or that you're a Christian, because we all love God, and that has to be the message, right? Love God. Love yourself and love your neighbor. That has to be the message. I'm going to wrap up the show with a short prayer and also one of my favorite songs. And it is a song called Radiance. And hopefully you guys like the music. It is not traditional hymns, but I will play some of those on the show, I guess. But Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today. Thank you for guiding my words. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to know you and be with you. Help us make good decisions. Help us love people. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
The absence of your empathy is bound.
Thanks for joining me, everybody. I will be back next week, and have a great week, and may God bless you in everything you do.